It's the Daily Dispatch in discussion with Darren Mann.
The Daily Dispatch in discussion with Darren Mann, and we are just a couple of weeks away, less than 2 weeks away, from what is expected to be a hotly contested general election. Joining us today, we have the Eastern Cape chairperson of Action SA, Athol Trollope. Athol, thank you for making your time available. I know that it's you're under a lot of pressure this time of the year. How would you describe the mood of your party with just under 2 weeks to go to the general election?
Yeah, thanks very much, Darren. Look, there might be some background noises. I'm at an airport, so you'll have to excuse those. Darren, the mood is quite positive for us as a new party contesting national and provincial elections for the first time. The polls, I think, are polling us below where we actually are because it's very difficult to poll a party that's never contested before. And also, I don't think they're necessarily doing proper polling in deep rural areas of provinces like the Eastern Cape. But be that as it may, we're very positive. We're positive that we could capture some of the market of the 18 million registered voters that did not vote in the last election. And the reason I make mention of that is that I think the current government has been underpinned and supported by millions of South African voters who simply vote because of generational loyalty. And they vote for the party of their forebears. And that has been the sort of bulwark of ANC domination over the last 30 years. But in the 2021 election, 18 million registered voters did not register and 17 million registered voters did vote. So that means that the majority of South Africans actually broke that generational voting pattern. And the first step in doing that is to step away and not vote. And they obviously didn't have a political party that stimulated them enough to leave their original party and to vote for a new one, but we are a new political party, and I believe that we will offer many of those voters an alternative, and that's what makes this election very exciting for us.
As you say, first general election for Action SA that you're going to be contesting, and obviously you will take any vote that comes your way, but is there a particular area or demographic where you feel your message is resonating or gaining traction at the moment?
You know what makes, I was in one political party and my whole life, it did morph into different political parties, but essentially one political party my whole life. And I'm a perfect example of someone who's broken a generational voting pattern. And what makes Action SA very exciting to be a member of is that we're a melting pot of people who come from different political parties, who've had enough of the political establishment, have become disillusioned or disappointed with the political parties we supported in the past. And the one thing that binds us together is that we've had enough and we want to fix South Africa. Our slogan is simple. It's inclusive. It invites all South Africans. It says, let's fix South Africa. And I think that we're at a crossroads in South Africa where there's no debate anymore about whether the current government is overwhelmed. The signs of their being overwhelmed are everywhere to see, for people to see. So I think it's going to be a really interesting election because there's no doubt that the ANC will not get above 50%. Just how far below 50% they're going to get is the only thing that's in question. And the demographics that you spoke about are so interesting. You know, I've been working with Action SA in this province for almost 2.5 years now, and we've established a footprint right across the Eastern Cape. We've got representation in all 6 district municipalities and also the 2 metros. And we will be contesting every single ward in every single municipality. And the interesting thing is the first branch we ever launched was in a place called Ingobo, deep in the Transkei, in a rural village. The second branch was in Bizana. And obviously, we've got many, many branches in the 2 metros. And then, right across the province, we have branch representation. And we've spent the last 2.5 years setting up a political structure that can underpin our efforts, and we will have people represented at voting stations, and we've got hundreds of thousands of members who have signed up, and they will convince their family members to vote for us. So we wait with anticipation for the results. But I must hasten to add that I'm feeling a bit like I can only imagine what an Olympian feels like on the eve of the Olympic Games. You know that you're good enough to get a podium position, but you start having self-doubt on the nights before the event that you might not even make it through the heat. So it's a very anxious time for us as political parties, but in 2 weeks' time, we'll know. So there it is.
Key areas of focus for you as a party. Crime and economy / unemployment seem top of mind for most, but we've also just had the NHI bill that's been signed into law.
Okay, I'll just park the NHI. I'd like to get to that separately. Our main focus, Darren, is the economy and education. If we don't grow our economy and start creating jobs in this country, we will be on a path to some kind of horrific, nightmarish revolution, especially in the Eastern Cape. We have the highest unemployment rate in the whole country, and youth unemployment is touching on 70%, which is a crisis. It's a catastrophe. And we need to do something about that. And the only way to do that is to restore investor confidence, and not only international investor confidence. I've read recently that there's 1.5 trillion rand lying idly in South African bank accounts of South African investors who just do not trust the government. They don't trust the government's policies, and they're not investing their money because of insecurity. Mm. The other big issue is crime. Obviously, crime drives away investment and corruption. We're now renowned all over the world for corruption and crime, and the fact that our infrastructure, economic infrastructure, is just falling apart. Our roads are unpassable. The rail network is finished. There's no more effective rail to transfer goods and people across the country. And these are the things that militate against local investment, but also internationally. International investors do not invest in countries where local investors aren't investing. So we need to bring back hope and trust in government. And the only way to do that is get rid of this current government, because nobody trusts them. And that's what we have to do. And then education, Darren, you know, even if our economy does start growing, and I recently heard that despite a war going on in Ukraine, they've got economic growth happening in that country of close to 6%. Their investment has just gone off the charts, international and domestic investment, and their economy is thriving despite a war going on there. We are geopolitically perfectly situated, especially with what's going on in the Middle East and the Suez Canal, with the Houthis stopping shipping going through the Suez Canal. We should be exploiting the fact that all the ships going from west to east are coming past South Africa. We're not doing that. Our ports are underperforming. They're some of the least productive in the world. In fact, our three biggest ports are the worst performing ports in the whole world with regards to productivity. And that's an issue. But education, unless we do something profound about our education, we're not going to be able to exploit any economic growth, because, you know, we've got 10-year-olds at school, in public schools now, that are in grade four that can't read for meaning. And the person responsible for that has been the Minister of Education for 15 years. And she's set to be the Minister of Education for another 5 years if the current government gets into government, which they're not, fortunately. So she'll be finally out of her job. She should have been 5 years ago. And then we've got two ministers of education, and they've each got deputies. So essentially, we've got four ministers to look after a broken education system. Minister Nzimande from Higher Education's department lost 7.4 billion rand of NSFAS funding. Now, Darren, you and I know one thing that never gets lost is money. You might lose a rand falling out of your pocket and rolls under your bed and it gets lost, but you don't lose 7.4 billion rand. And the problem with this is that we have got ministers and leaders in this country that are beyond reproach. They never get investigated. We've got a Zondo Commission, and all those findings have been swept under the carpet, because who is going to charge who first? You know, in the Bible, it says he without sin cast the first stone. There's no one without sin in the ANC government. So no one's casting any stones, and no one's holding anyone to account. Our early childhood development system is in an absolute parlous state. The early childhood development practitioners are underpaid, grossly overworked. You can imagine looking after 50 or 60 children from nappies to five-year-olds. I mean, I love my grandkids, and if they spend a weekend with us by Monday, I'm just about off my head phoning their parents to come back and fetch them. So imagine looking after 50 kids. And recently in East London, a three-year-old toddler drowned or in a pit latrine. People don't drown in a pit latrine, incidentally. They die of asphyxiation. So these are the challenges that are really on the forefront of our mind: growing the economy, dealing with unemployment, sorting out our education system, and getting our country going so that we can deal with this unemployment and this growing dependency. And we have a government that, you know, breastfeeds about the fact that there are 28 million people reliant on social grants. That is the worst indictment on any government. You should be breast beating about reducing that number, but this government doesn't do that. And then the NHI. You know, I was phoned this morning by a reporter in Komani, which was formerly Queenstown, to tell me that people had been lying on the floor and on chairs at Frontier Hospital in Queenstown for the last 3 days. And there are no beds, and there's no linen, and there's no staff, and there's no service delivery. And I just thought to myself, yesterday the president signed into law the National Health Insurance Act, and public health care is broken. So do they really think that enacting a new piece of legislation is going to make the problems experienced at Frontier Hospital and Provincial Hospital and Dora and Ginza and Nelson Mandela, make those things disappear overnight? They're not going to disappear overnight. It's going to get compounded. When I listened to the current premier of Gauteng, the outgoing premier of Gauteng, Panyaza Lusufi, telling people at an ANC rally that on the 30th of May, they'll be able to walk into any private hospital and have any treatment from the best doctors and the best hospitals in the world free of charge, and the state will pay for it. Now, that's the kind of delusion that the current government is under, that you can tell people that this government that can't afford anything, that is essentially bankrupt, is now going to pay for people's private health care in private health care facilities. It's an absolute joke. And I think the people of South Africa know that. And that's why those 18 million voters are up for grabs. And we are going to go after those 18 million voters. And we're going to, we don't even have to tell them about where their shoe pinches them. That's the easy part of this election. People that are poor, people that are neglected, they know why they're poor and neglected, and they're going to punish the people responsible for that.
Last one before we let you go, Athol. You've been quoted as saying that you anticipate a golden period of coalition politics on the horizon for South Africa. Would you mind elaborating on what you meant? Our coalition history hasn't always been happy.
Yeah, you're right, Darren. I was part of a coalition that worked well. We delivered. We went from being the second worst metro to the second best in 1 year. It really wasn't without challenges. You'll remember my travails with one Mongameli Bobani. So it wasn't easy. But the one thing about experience, you've got to gain experience by doing things. And I think that, coalitions were very new to us in South Africa. We've had one-party domination and hegemony for the past 150 years, essentially over 50-year periods almost of each party dominating completely. So we were not used to coalitions and power sharing. And we've been doing that now for the last, Cape Town, I think, was the first place to start essentially with a coalition government about 10 or 15 years ago. So we've had quite a lot of experience. I think voters have learnt that voting for small parties that get one or two seats and then put themselves up for sale and are made mayors of councils with 120 seats or in Joburg, 240 seats, both of those, Nelson Mandela Bay and Johannesburg, have got mayors from two-seat parties. So they essentially are just puppet mayors, and we all know that, and we've seen the consequences of that. So I think voters have learned a lot from that, and I think voters will be a lot more astute. But the reality is that voters have also realized that hegemonic governments are essentially weak. They become arrogant. They develop a tin ear. They don't listen. I hate going along to get along, but learning to get along is what we are going to have to do. We need to respect each other more. We need to be more mature and to speak to each other and put South Africa and our cities first, and then find ways of collaborating to get the job done. And I think that's what I was referring to when I was saying we will head into a period of golden coalitions. And if I can give you an example, even in the Western Cape, the current government of the Western Cape often claims that they're the best government in South Africa and they do things best. Some communities agree and some communities don't agree. I believe that in the Western Cape, we will even have a coalition government, and that will make the current government have to perform better. Competition is always good in any kind of field, and especially in politics. It keeps you sharper, it keeps you on your toes, and makes you deliver. So I believe that the people of the Western Cape will benefit from a coalition government with the current government, and they will obviously pick partners that they are more inclined towards. And those partners will hold their feet to the fire, and the people will be better off for it. So that's why I think we're heading into a better period of government or a style of government in South Africa.
It's a positive note on which to end. We really do appreciate you making the time available for us, as always, Athol, and hopefully catch up with you again after the general election is done and dusted. Thank you for joining us.
That was the Daily Dispatch in discussion with Darren Mann.